Thank you, Pastor Jordan and Austin. I appreciated that. That was another thing that played into our decision-making process, is we have a lot of people gone from our praise team, and Fernando and Gina, and so we're thankful for our worship time this morning. I'm going to do something I never do. Standing before you with not a note in front of me. I'm going to share with you a passage that I've shared with you before. When I first came to preach, before I was called as a candidate, I shared this passage with you. This is the passage that God has used in my life. And God directed me to this, and I can't remember how. I don't remember if somebody shared it with me. I don't remember if somebody gave me a book and it was mentioned. I have no idea. But when my brother was killed, this was the passage that just resonated with me. And I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, when we go through difficulties and we go through hurt and we go through pain, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a death, loss of a job, health things, cancer, and the other things. When we go through suffering, our natural tendency is to ask God, why? Why? God, why did you allow this? God, maybe why did you even bring this into my life? When my brother was killed in that accident, 2 weeks after he graduated from high school, I asked God why. I asked him why a lot. And I struggled with that question in my own mind. Am I doubting God? And I finally, as I wrestled with it, I began to realize that there's nothing wrong with asking that question, why? Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, looked up to his Father and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when we ask that question, why, it shows that we really believe that God is still in control and that God is on the throne and God has a plan and God is omniscient and his ways are not our ways and we can trust him. And you know, sometimes God's not going to give us that answer, why. 30 years later, I still don't have an answer to that question. Why did you take Craig? But I have seen a lot of results of things God has done because of that. And I have seen God use that. I guarantee you, I wouldn't be standing in the pulpit today. I wouldn't be a pastor today if my brother hadn't been killed. I was living for the Lord, but my priorities weren't right. And God changed a lot of priorities in my life. I know one of the results of my brother being called to glory was he called me to pastor and to be obedient. And sometimes when I work through a passage, sometimes I read through it again and again and again and again and just struggle to come up with an outline and put these things on paper. And that's why as we go through a lot of these series, I tell you up front when I borrow other people's outlines, and it's because I'm not real smart a lot of the time. But in this passage, I love when you come to a passage like this and God just makes it really clear. This is a passage that's like outlining for dummies. You know, because anybody can get it. At least in my translation, New American Translation. Yours might be a little bit different. But if you write in your Bibles, I want to challenge you to circle a couple words. And here Paul shares, and all through Scripture, we have a lot of answers that are given to us on why we go through suffering. Why we hurt. But in this passage, Paul gives us three reasons. Again, it's not an exhaustive list. We have a lot in Scripture, but just from this passage, Paul says, here's three reasons I can give you why I went through suffering and why you may go through suffering too. So if you write in your Bibles, like I say, in my New American, it reads very clearly. In verse 4 is the first time, who comforts us in all our affliction so that. If you have that, circle those two words, so that. And then in verse 9, It says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that, circle those words, another reason. And in verse 11, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that. Now the third reason. Follow along with me, please, as I read 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Paul says, let me tell you some reasons why you may be going through that suffering, why you may be going through that hurt. The first reason he gives us is in verse 4. Why do we suffer? Number one, so that we will be able to comfort others. So that we'll be able to comfort others. Here Paul says, God who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now you'll notice that word comfort is used many times in verses 3 through 7. In my translation, I put a little mark next to each of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times comfort or comforted is used. God is a God of comfort. That word in the Greek is a compound word. It's made up parakaleo. Kaleo means to call, and para means alongside or beside. And this passage tells me that when I go through suffering, God, who is there anyway, but in a very real and special way, is called alongside me to suffer with me, to bring that comfort, to bring that hope, to bring that encouragement. And God, who is the God of all comfort, comes alongside me to deliver me through that time and that period. And then God, he says, can use us somewhere down the road to be that source of comfort. The God of all comfort, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I shared with Joe and Lori and Callie and Ashton this morning, I said, God's going to use this in your life, and he's going to open doors that you didn't have before. You know, I watched my mother. My mother was a godly woman. I miss my mother still today. And I sat in awe as I watched my mother go through losing a son. And just the hurt. And she went through some low times. But she trusted God. And God just gave her strength. And God opened a door for ministry for my mother that I wasn't even aware of till after she passed away. I knew a little bit, but my mom just made it her ministry that when she found out about someone who lost a child, she just reached out to them. I told Lori, if mom wasn't in heaven today, she would have been at her house this week with a meal, with a couple books in hand, and she would sit down and say, I've been there. And let me tell you what God did in my life. And she just had a dynamic ministry, and she'd always go and she'd share a couple books that really meant something to her, and she'd take them in and she'd say, you know, you may not want to read these yet. Set them on a shelf. But God used this in my life, and I hope he'll use it in yours. And she'd give him her phone number and say, call me at any time. Often it was people she didn't know. A friend would say, hey, I know this person, and they lost a child. Can you reach out to them? And I said, I didn't even know the impact of her ministry until after she was gone. Donna Russell shared with me that she was one of those women that mom reached out to. You know what? When we let God comfort us and give us hope, then he can use that in our life and we can be called alongside someone else. Parakaleo, to call alongside. We suffer, the God of comfort comes alongside of us. And then someone else suffers and we can be called alongside them to give that hope, to give that peace. You know, with the same suffering, with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort. Paul says, we're going through some of this stuff and God is with us so that he can use us in your life somewhere down the road. And you're going through this stuff so that he can use you in someone else's life. Because that opens a door for ministry that you do not have. You know, this afternoon, before everybody starts to arrive at the funeral home, I'm going to go and meet with the family and I'll pray with them. And I'll remind them, I've already shared this with them, but I'll remind them, some people are going to say things that they think are helpful, but they're stupid. You know, now's not the time to give 101 verses. Now's not the time to say, here's the answer. Now's not the time for this resource or that resource. Let me give you a little bit of advice if you're going to the funeral home this afternoon. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Don't say something stupid. I remember when my brother passed away and I was at the visitation. And I was 21 years old. He was 18. I did not want to be there. I wanted to be anywhere but there. But for my parents, I was there. And I can't tell you how many times I had people come up to me and say, I know what you're going through. I never said it, but I want, really? Have you lost a brother tragically in an accident? No? Then shut up. Because you don't know what I'm going through. Because when you're in the midst of that, it hurts. And it feels like you're the only one that is dealing with that right then, right now. And time after time when I'd hear that, I know what you're going through. It just ticked me off and made me want to leave all the more. But there was a man in our church that God really used in my life. Man by the name of Rocky. Rocky was not a stalwart in the church, was haphazard in his attendance at best. But God used him in my life in a very real way. So I remember Rocky came to me at the funeral home and he said, Jeff, can we go outside? I said, sure, I can use some fresh air. And walked outside and he put his arm around me. I thought, this is a little weird. I don't know you that well. And Rocky says, you know, Jeff, I know what you're going through. Oh, I started to get ticked off again. He said, when I was about your age, my brother was killed in an accident. Man, I listened to everything Rocky had to say. Because I knew I wasn't alone. I knew I wasn't the only one who had gone through that before. I knew that anyway. But suddenly reality hit in. And all right, God, there's hope. And he shared with me, you know what? God just, he will deliver you. He'll give you the strength you need. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope at the end. You just got to trust him. And it's not like Rocky and I ever developed a close relationship. There was a couple times we had conversations after that. But that one conversation gave me hope to go on. Because he had been there. And you're going to have ministry that you didn't have before. You're going to be able to come alongside someone and say, I know what you're going through. Let me share my story. And it gives hope. It's relatable. All of a sudden, there's a connection that maybe wasn't there before. You know, and God gives us hope in the difficulties, in the struggles, and he opens up doors for us. If we will let him be the God of comfort in our life, if we will let him use us, he will allow us to comfort others. Now, the second reason he gives us is in verse 8. And we don't know what Paul was going through. He never lists it for us. But Paul was going through a very low time in his life. He was at the point that he wanted to die. He was done. Wanted to give up. "For we don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves." Second reason we're going to go through suffering. "So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." One of the reasons God allows us to go through suffering is so that we begin to look to Him. And we trust in Him and not ourselves. Most of us in our lives can handle pretty much everything that comes our way. We can do things in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own gifts, our own personality traits. We can handle most everything. Now, we will say, "God, I'm going to yield to you today," but in reality, we don't. We might even come to the end of the day and say, "Thank you, God, for leading me," when we didn't follow Him. We trust in ourselves an awful lot of the time. Think about it. How many times do you pick up the phone and before you call somebody, you say, "God, I'm really not looking forward to this conversation and I know it's going to get negative, but I am asking you to give me the exact words I need. God, I'm asking you to direct and lead and I will follow." Do we do that? Do we do that in our workplace? No, we don't do that. We do things in our own strength. We all do. I do. But then once in a while, God says, "You know what? Stop. You're not enough. And you don't have enough. You need to trust in me." And one of the reasons we go through suffering, he says, so that we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. When we go through the tough times, it should drive us to our knees when we're just completely dependent on God. When my brother was killed, I talked with God probably more than I ever had in my life up to that point. And just, man, I needed Him. And I was depending on Him. I didn't have the ability to get out of bed and go to work. I didn't have the ability to get up and brush my teeth. You know, I lost everything. And you just had to throw yourself to God and say, "God, I can't do it." One of the reasons we go through suffering is so that He teaches us not to trust in ourselves, but in Him. God is still on the throne. God is still good. God is still in control. Understand, we can't do it on our own. And one of the reasons our churches aren't blowing out the walls with people coming to Christ, why we're not seeing drastic things in our life, because we're not trusting in Him. We're not yielding to Him. We're not letting Him lead. We're doing things in our own strength, in our own way, and we are falling. And He's going to allow us to go through something to get our attention, to drive us to our knees, to not trust in ourselves, but in Him who raises the dead. And the third reason He gives us is in verse 11. "You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." He says another reason we go through suffering is so that we will see God work in other people's lives. Notice what he says, "so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." Paul says, you know what? We're at the point of death. We don't want to go on anymore. But we're going to trust God who raises the dead. We're going to yield to Him. And we're going to let Him deliver us because when He does, other people are going to see that. Those people that have been praying for us. And they're going to be able to thank God on our behalf that He is working and He is alive and well and still working on this earth. People are praying that weren't praying before. People are praying for Joe and Lori that haven't prayed for them before. Now there are going to be some people who come up and say, "I'm praying for you." And it doesn't mean a whole lot because you don't even know who they're praying to. But when somebody comes up that you know, you say, "I'm praying for you." And they are. and you know they're going to the throne for you. And then when they look down the road and they see God walking with you and you walking with God and they see God using this in your life and opening a door to ministry, they're going to start praising God. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done through this. Thank you for how you've delivered through this. Thank you for the hope that you've given. Thank you for the fact that you are still a God who works. You are still a God who's in control, and you use prayer. Every one of us has a ministry if we would pray, if we would trust Him, if we would yield our lives to Him. We're all going to go through suffering to some degree or another. We're all going to go through hurt. You know, God allows that for a reason. And God can use that in our lives if we let Him. I shared with Joe and Lori this morning one thing that's just been on my mind again and again and again. And if you're here for the service tomorrow, I'm going to share some of these things in the memorial service as well. But I think every one of us would say we have a desire to finish well. But you don't know when your finish is. If you want to finish well, you got to live well. You got to live your life to the honor and glory of God. You got to give yourself passionately to Him and be obedient to Him and walk with Him. Because it's only as I'm walking with Him, it's only as I'm being used by Him and letting Him work through me, and I'm being obedient and doing the things He's called me to do, then I can finish well. Father, thank you for the hope you give us. Thank you for the truth of your word. Lord, I just ask that you will be with Joe and Lori, with Callie and Ashton, with Larry and his family, with Katie and Benaiah especially, Lord. And Lord, give them your hope. Give them your peace and comfort. It's going to be a long day, a weary day. Give them memories that bring a smile to their face. Give them peace. And Lord, I'm asking that you will use this event in all of our lives as a wake-up call to live our lives for you, to proclaim Jesus Christ, to trust you, to not do things in our own strength, but to follow you. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. It's easier to preach than it is to practice. Lord, there's some right now who are going through some difficulties, and maybe they're blaming you, but Lord, may they open their eyes to see that you have a purpose and a plan. May they trust you in the process. Lord, I ask tomorrow, I'm going to have an opportunity to share the gospel for a lot of people that have never heard it. And I ask right now that you'll prepare hearts and minds to be receptive of your truth, to be open to the gospel message, the invitation that you give to come. Father, we do thank you that you are a God who loves us, no matter what. You forgive us, you restore us, you use us. Father, thank you. And we thank you because of all that Jesus Christ has done and the salvation made possible through his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, we thank you in his name. Amen.